I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. Let's begin today with protests and counter-protests in Germany. So what is going on there?
It's super ideological. So on the one end, you have the super liberals who basically say, oh, no, my God, the Nazis are taking over the country. We need to prevent this. While the others say, we're just afraid that the country is turning out to be a horrible place for our children.
That's our first guest on The World today, telling me about what started out as weekly anti-immigration protests in Germany. They've been taking place since October, led by a group that calls itself Patriotic Europeans Against the Islamization of the West. The rallies have sparked counter-protests now, as Germans come out to denounce the group and to speak out in favor of diversity and tolerance. Let's hear again from Timo Lohocki. He's in Berlin and a fellow with the Europe Program of the German Marshall Fund of the United States. I asked him to explain the anti-immigrant protesters' point of view.
They claim that the German politicians don't take voters' concerns seriously in their respect. They argue that they are afraid of that these asylum seekers, these migrants in general, are lurking to alter the lifestyle of the common German. But this, I do believe, that these protests are rather a decoy or a symbol of a certain discontent with the German political establishment. The asylum or the immigration issue rather serves as a segue, as an entryway, as a symbol. But this is not the real issue.
So what is the real issue?
The real issue is that the German political debate has become rather docile, you might say, over the last 10 years. And what is changing remarkably is that German politicians have become extremely liberal concerning migration integration policies. In doing so, German politicians alienated parts of their conservative electorate. And this is the people which are now marching on the street and ask their politicians to take a more conservative stance in migration and integration matters.
How much are these anti-immigrant, anti-Muslim protests upsetting average Germans?
Well, interestingly, there are 80,000 protesters against the alleged Islamization of Germany. But 80,000 is a rather limited number in a country of 80 million people. What we see is there's a lot of anti-protests. So there are a lot of people who go to the street and say, no, this is not our Germany. We are liberal. We are open. We are tolerant. We want migrants. We are fine with Muslims in our country. So I do think, aside from the protests, be it the protests against the Islamization or those in favor of a tolerant Germany, it's difficult to judge whether the majority of Germans is fond of the concern, so to speak, or wants the migration policy to be as open, as tolerant, as liberal as it is at the moment.
So the demonstrations have been condemned by German leaders, and there have been suggestions that government not engage in any dialogue with the protesters or organizers. Do you think that's a good idea?
Given that these protesters argue politicians don't give us a voice anymore, that don't listen to us, this very strategy, condemning them, will lead them to stay on the street, respectively, to aim for newly funded right populist, right extremist parties who say, well, you know, we are the only ones taking your concerns seriously. So only condemning them will most likely not reduce the protests, on the very contrary.
So what sort of statements need to be made by the German government?
Well, the German government, to my reading, on the one hand, they could say, well, you know, these guys who try to put you on the street, they have clear-cut ties to right extremist parties which are openly xenophobic and racist. These are not the guys you want to be affiliated with, on the one hand. On the other side, the German government could say, well, listen, we take your concerns seriously. We try to do our very best to take care of the situation in the sense that you don't have to be afraid of asylum seekers, that you don't have to be afraid that migrants come here to reap the benefits of the welfare state. Whether the government is willing to deliver that, of course, remains to be seen.
That was Timo Lohocki in Berlin. He's a fellow at the German Marshall Fund of the United States. The anti-immigration protests in Germany clearly present a challenge for the country's leader, Chancellor Angela Merkel. George Packer profiled her last month for The New Yorker.
She rarely sticks her neck out and tries to get ahead of public opinion and shape it. But on this issue and one or two others, she's done so on and off throughout her time as chancellor. And I think she just has a fundamental belief that for Germany to continue to be the success story it's been, it has to be open, has to be tolerant. It needs immigrant workers. She's keenly aware of the demographics working against Germany with an aging population and a stagnant size of population. And, you know, having grown up in East Germany under communism has a pretty irreducible bottom line of freedom and tolerance.
Europe looks to Germany and Merkel. I mean, she's regarded, as you pointed out in your New Yorker profile, the Chancellor of Europe. Can you tell us what her foibles are? I mean, what's her Achilles heel that perhaps Europe should not be following?
I think the big one is that her policies, her country's policies on keeping the Eurozone together and trying to solve the financial and economic crisis in some European countries has not worked. Unemployment remains staggeringly high in southern European countries. Political turmoil and the rise of extremism on the right and left is a big threat. Disenchantment with Europe, with the European Union, is high. And so, in a way, the German solution for the euro crisis, which has been austerity and very measured bailouts, just hasn't produced the results that, you know, for example, the stimulus package in the U.S., which went in the other direction, has finally produced in our economy. European economies are really ailing. And so the trust and willingness to follow Merkel's lead around Europe is fading. And with that, I think Germany's influence in Europe is going to be challenged in the coming year.
What difference do you think has it made that Merkel has seen in her lifetime, has lived in her lifetime, the great arc of change in Europe, first in East Germany, then reunification, and now helping to create the new Europe, whatever that is, and filling in the breach that was East and Western Europe?
I think it's hugely influential. I mean, I think several people in Berlin said no West German can understand how important it was for her to have grown up in East Germany and then to have seen the state collapse. It gives her, I think, a sense of the fragility of any political project that people who were born and raised in stable democracies just can't understand. So both on the economic side, her sense that Europe could easily fall apart if populist parties get stronger in France and Greece and Spain and Italy, and also on the political side, and then the military side. She's spent much of 2014 dealing with Vladimir Putin and Russia's incursion into Ukraine, and she sees that too as a threat to European integrity, to territorial integrity, but also she needs to keep Europe together on sanctions on Russia, which it seems to be fraying now with France now making noises about drawing a line. So she has this incredibly difficult balancing act, and I think her sense of the fragility of states and of political visions is in her bones because of where she grew up.
So, George, after taking time to understand Angela Merkel, what are her characteristics that gave you an impression that it is people like her who will usher in a more stable Europe politically and economically, or did you not feel that?
I think her political talents are unmatched. I think she has just an incredible ability to think ahead, to be two or three steps beyond her competitors, to play off different factions against each other and hold their allegiance, to speak to the public in a way that makes them feel as if she's one of them. She's just a great politician. She's not a visionary, and she's not a leader in the sense that Americans think of that word. And that is the big criticism of her in Germany, that Joschka Fischer, the former foreign minister, said she just has not explained to Germans why Europe is important to them and what it will take to keep Europe together. And for that reason, her great weakness, which is her unwillingness or inability to articulate a larger vision and to point way down the road and take her country that way, might in the end be her undoing, because that's what's required right now with Europe in a kind of perpetual low-grade crisis.
George Packer wrote about Angela Merkel for The New Yorker.